There's a new pattern for specifying configuration in Entity Framework Core. Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 48 of the ASP.NET Monsters, and we're going to talk about configuration patterns for Entity Framework.
All right. I have a very simple application here to take a look at, and there it is. I already had it open in Visual Studio Code. So I have a very simple context here. I just have an employee class and an employee context. And just taking a look at how we actually specify configuration with this, so where we're specifying something like the connection string or even what type of provider to use. And it's using the option builder pattern that you'll see all across ASP.NET Core. And there's a few different ways we can wire this up with Entity Framework. And the ASP.NET apps, when you do a file new project, it kind of wires it up in a certain way by default, but we're going to take a look at if we were just building a console app, for example, and how we would do that from scratch. So this is my context here, employee context, which inherits from DB context. And down at the bottom, I override the onConfiguring method, which takes in an instance of an DB context options builder. And that's where we actually specify, it's one place at least where we can specify configuration. So this is kind of where you would specify your default configuration.
Yep. Right. As you're diving into the code there, you showed me a keyboard shortcut when we were recently in Montreal. If you hit Control B, that'll minimize the file side. There we go. Yeah, right. For some more code. Perfect.
We can see a little bit more of that. So here I'm just saying use SQL Server, and here's my connection string. There are other options that you can specify, but we'll just take a look at connection strings now as an example. And typically you probably wouldn't do that because now I guess this context is always tied to that specific database, right? It's always tied to this local DB instance of SQL Server with that database name. But it works, and my little sample application here, all it's going to do is create a new employee context, get a database connection from it, and print out the connection string just so we can see that it's actually using that config. So when I go to the command line and do a .NET run, which will compile and run my app, I'll build it first. Okay, so it outputs the connection string that I had configured and onconfiguring. But as I said, that's kind of hard-coded, so it's probably not the best pattern to use all the time. What you might do is specify a default here that you might use in a developer's environment, because you kind of need this to be set up to use things like the tooling for EF migrations locally. So it kind of needs a default connection to use. And if you don't specify it in a startup class like you do in an ASP.NET application, you need to specify it somewhere with the context. So that's one way of doing that. But let's say that we wanted to configure this to use something entirely different, like a SQLite database or something. There's another option here where you can pass in. So the other pattern is that you pass in the options into the constructor, and then you pass that on to the base class, the base constructor. So that wires it up based on whatever options you've configured to when you create the context. So I have a little method down here that says create SQLite options, and all it's doing is it creates a new DB context option builder, tells it use SQLite, and then returns the options from that. And I can pass that in if I do a whole new using here. So we'll just repeat that and say create SQLite options. So I'll pass that in. So now when I run this, I should get the SQL connection string first, and then the SQLite connection string the second time. Let's see if that works. And it crashes, which is actually what I expected to have happen. It's telling me the database provider, you can't configure two at the same time, so it was already configured and you tried to configure a second one. And that's because the two configurations are kind of colliding, right? So what you have to do in this method here.
So probably behind the scenes somewhere, Entity Framework has decided that it's going to use a specific dialect of SQL that's related to SQL Server, and it can't change that quickly on the fly.
Yeah, there's a few different pieces, I guess, that it wires up. I haven't looked too much at the details of how that does get wired up. But, you know, there would be the dialect of how the SQL gets generated. But there's also even just something as simple as which connection it's using in terms of, not just the connection string, but which SQL client it's using. So which implementation of IDB connection that it's going to use. It depends on which one you've specified here. So if you want to mix these two patterns together, where you do specify defaults in onConfiguring, but then also have the option to pass in options in the constructor, what you do is onConfiguring here, you just add a check to say, only do this if it hasn't been configured, I guess, not if it is configured. So if it hasn't been configured, then go ahead and specify the defaults. So now, if I run this again, so now we had the first time it ran, it used the default connection string. It with SQL Server, second time it used SQLite, and the other one that we, the one that we passed in. So where this might be useful is that, by default, well, typically you're going to use this pattern where you're passing it into the constructor, and then you use the ASP.NET DI framework. It will resolve that for you the way you've configured it in startup and pass in whatever you've configured. But this helps for unit testing too, right? Because then you can configure it to use something like an in-memory database for your unit tests, and you just pass that into the constructor, and everything works the way you would expect it to.
And the nice thing about having something in there for local DB, the nice thing about that is you might expect the configuration to be part of like your config.json. You can expect someone to have a local version of it that would be running out of user secrets, as an example. But failing that, there would be a default for your project that's easily overridable. And you're checking to see if is this configged. And if it's not configged, then you can go ahead and just use that built-in, that baked-in default. So for something like in-memory or local DB, that would probably be safe in most contexts.
Yeah. You probably don't want to be hitting your production server in here, though, in the onconfiguring method. That would be dangerous.
Now, I notice that you've got an option builder to use SQL Server. So these seem like extension methods that are like hard-coded to the implementation. Is that true? Is there some other option that doesn't take a hard-coding?
They are hard-coded to the implementation, and those only show up if you actually bring in those packages.
So doesn't that feel like the sort of thing that PHP used to do, where it would be like a bunch of methods, start off with MySQL underscore something else? Like, this stuff used to be configurable from the connection string. Are we getting away from that now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what do you really gain from doing that just solely based on the connection string?
I don't know. I feel better about it, though.
Do you?
Well, yeah, because now, like, changing the database is now a code-level change as opposed to a config-level change.
It would be a code-level change anyway, because you would have to bring that. I mean, you have to consciously make a decision to pull that package in anyway, right?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree. Like, I mean, I have, I know that I have spent hundreds of hours in projects working around the idea that when we change from the enterprise version of SQL Server to MySQL, it's going to be easy to do. But that's never actually happened. Like, I mean, it can happen. I suppose the most likely occurrence of it would be when you have a product that you're deploying and you will support multiple SQL engines and in the back end. But transitioning a project from one DB provider to another is pretty, it's not a common thing, I don't think.
No, not in my experience, but yeah, like you can see here, I initially was only pulling in SQL Server, and then to show that other example with SQLite, I had to pull in that provider in my project JSON. So I specifically had to pull down that dependency to enable that behavior in the first place. And if
you, probably reasonable.
If you wanted it to be configurable at just based on a text config file, then you would have to add logic in your startup file to say, you know, based on this flag in my config, use you know, if SQL Server is set, then use SQL Server, otherwise use SQLite. You'd have to add a bit of logic around it to enable that.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. It doesn't seem like a common enough use case that it would need to be baked into the framework.
I've been on one application where we had to do that because we had clients that some of them were using SQL Server and others were using Oracle. So based on the deployment, we had to choose, are we running this on SQL Server or Oracle? And that was never an easy thing to actually accomplish. There's a lot of code just to make that happen.
Good thing you were using abstract generic repositories, though, because that made it really easy.
I wrote my own ORM for that project.
It would probably be easier to just drop the Oracle clients. Can't be worth that much money. I mean, they probably don't have much money left after having bought a license to Oracle.
This is true.
Yeah.
Good times.
But honestly, we're not paid at all by Microsoft to plug SQL Server.
We just all have experience using Oracle. It wasn't
this fun. Is a volunteer gig, by and large. So we do have a couple of episodes as well for the configuration side of things. So we will definitely make sure we link in the notes on this. And I do believe that there's at least one other episode in getting EF wired up. So maybe we can string a couple of those together in the notes for the show.
You bet.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll see everybody in the next episode of the ASP.NET Monsters.
Cheers.